This is KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop.
It's AT Explained. I'm Matt Largy. Interstate 35 is many things to many people. It's a vital thoroughfare. It's been an economic and social barrier. And nearly from its construction, it's been a source of frustration for many drivers stuck in its traffic. And as KUT's Jimmy Moss reports for AT Explained, I-35 has inspired a number of questions and even legends about its design and the people who made it.
First of all, let's get this out of the way. No one who had any role in designing or constructing the upper decks of I-35 committed suicide, at least to anyone's knowledge. That legend has been floating around for decades. It is not true. Secondly, I-35 in the Austin area is not the deadliest stretch of highway in the United States, or even Texas. It is, however, one of the most congested. One of the solutions to ease that congestion, conceived more than 50 years ago, inspired our question from Javier Palomares.
So my question is, why was I-35 designed as a double-decker through central Austin instead of a wider highway?
Excellent point. Why was it designed as a double-decker? Conventional highway construction would likely call for eminent domain and widening the roadway.
As far as I know, there's not many cities that have a highway running through it that was designed in the 1960s, and it's actually a double-decker. Additionally, back in the 60s, Austin was not nearly as big as it is now, so I guess I'm curious why.
Here's where Javier begins to answer his own question.
Additionally, I've noticed if you actually take a look, we can actually see the other side of the highway. So the footprint of I-35 is much smaller than other highways. For example, like I-10 to Central Houston is so much wider.
At the heart of it, that's the reason. But to understand why there's so little leeway, you have to go back to the beginning of what, way back, was just called the Interregional. Part of the interregional system built under the 1944 Highway Act, America was trying to catch up to what World War II soldiers had seen in Germany, an interconnected freeway that could quickly transport troops and supplies and cars. By 1952, the first leg of the interregional had sprouted in Austin, the stretch between Airport Boulevard and what was then 19th Street, now Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. By the late 50s, you could drive from the southern city limits at Slaughter Creek to the northern city limits without leaving the interregional. Remember, this was when highways were the future.
They will take the over-the-road driver from city to city, coast to coast, at highway speeds, even through large population centers.
By then, you could go through town without leaving the highway, but not without stopping.
So Austin at the time had a railroad across 35. We're the only city, I believe, in the country that had a railroad stops on a freeway.
That's Ben Alley Jr. He's the son of Ben Alley Sr., who served as assistant district engineer for the State Highway Department. Alley Sr. passed away in 2011. As it happens, the Highway Department realized that they were quickly running out of capacity. Alley Sr. was among those that took the lead on the project to get the interregional over the railroad and get more cars through central Austin.
You know, they couldn't build 35 wider because of the easements. It would cost a fortune, and they would have had to purchase all the properties on either side of 35. And so building a three-lane highway on one pillar was an engineering feat.
When the path for 35 was initially laid, planners assumed four lanes would be all they would ever need. That left Alley and the Highway Department one choice at the time: to go up. When the upper decks opened in 1975, they were the only lanes of that type in the country. In highway terms, this was a huge splash. Other futuristic metropolises like San Antonio and New Orleans tried to emulate. But one man's engineering treasure is another's trash.
It cuts a horrible swath through the city of Austin. It is, at best, an ugly scar that runs right through the city.
That's State Senator Kirk Watson. For years, he's been trying to figure out how to reduce 35's visual and social impact while helping it move traffic.
That roadway has probably been cussed by more people than virtually any other segment of roadway in America.
What is not in I-35's future, through that stretch at least, is more lanes.
If tomorrow you had the money, if the state of Texas said, we've got the billions of dollars necessary to just go out and build you four new lanes of capacity, those would be congested very soon. That all the studies and all the experience across the country tells you that those would be congested almost immediately.
And for now, the future of the interregional is not up, but down.
We don't have right-of-way. You can't take out cemeteries. You can't take out downtown. You can't take out the University of Texas. So what do? Well, we don't want to go up because that adds to the scar. Instead, what this would do is it would put much of that below grade.
There's a long-range plan to lower parts of 35 through downtown and beyond. One plan involves the removal of the upper decks completely and putting toll lanes under the existing frontage road. So, would Ben Alley Jr. be upset if one of his dad's signature projects were removed?
He knew early on that this wasn't going to be the big fix for I-35 traffic. You know, even after it was built, it was pretty obsolete.
Benny Alley Sr. will have other legacies to lean on. He helped design MoPac, Loop 360, and the Pennybacker Bridge. The Alley family has their own memories, including very long drives.
Whenever we traveled with him, he never took main roads.
That's Alley's daughter-in-law, Helen Alley.
It's very interesting because he worked on mainly main roads, but we always took back roads in Texas because he loved the countryside and the beauty of it.
Not just in Texas, when we would travel anywhere out of state and far north, it was always back roads.
You see, one of the lead engineers on some of Austin's seminal highways did not prefer to drive on the freeway. Jimmy Moss, KUT News.
There's much more in our AT Explained series at atexplained.org. You can ask a question there, or you can vote in the latest voting round that we've got running right now. You can also subscribe to this podcast there or join our members-only Facebook group to get a behind-the-scenes look and a discussion about the reporting you hear on AT Explained. That's all at atexplained.org. AT Explained is a production of KUT in Austin. I'm Matt Largie.